The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
It's familiar, but not too familiar, but not too not familiar. It's a new craze. Hey, good girls, do you wanna just say, hey, I wanna? Just say, hey, I wanna.
Gotta get up, gotta get up. Hello, everybody, and welcome. My name is soul legend Desamond Carter, and you're listening to my brother, and me. It's 2016, basically.
Nope.
And you've joined us for the 2016 naming special. Let me introduce you to the brothers you have grown so accustomed to. First up is Justin McElroy. Hey, everybody. Justin here. Next up, we got Travis McElroy.
Oh, didn't see you come in.
Bringing the energy. Griffin McElroy, hit me.
Hey, I didn't see you come in.
Shit. You stole that line from your brother, but it's 2016, babe. Yeah.
Can I try?
Hit me.
Here I come.
Very good, high energy. Great special so far. My brother and me, every year they have chosen a nickname for the year. 2012 was, of course,
20 does.
Okay, 2010 was Zolo, correct?
Yes.
I don't know if we ever officially announced that, but in my heart of hearts, of course it was Zolo.
I don't think they did 2011.
That was Zol. We didn't know
Zol,
what we were doing. It took us a while to get good at naming things.
Dark Lord Zol. 12 was 20 does. Getting it in 20 does, I believe, was that one. Then in, of course, 2013 was 2013, digging up the dirt. 2014.
Was that 2014?
I think it's 2014.
Nobody remembers. 2015 was, of course, 2015, colon, the con is on.
Griffin.
First, they were pioneers in invent the idea of coloning a word.
Okay,
now
can I just, Justin?
I just want to throw that voice into the sun.
Yeah.
Now listen, 1 second, brothers. You paid me an exorbitant fee to be the
I'll
MC
double,
of tonight's
I will double
proceedings.
It to have you leave this place immediately.
I'm almost done with my intro. God. Then I've got a few songs for
okay,
you.
Okay, I am sick as shit, and you have to stop. You are making me physically iller.
I'm trying to pick up your slack, middle brother. Here we go. Almost done with the intro. Big finish. Let's start the show.
That was a big finish?
Hey, so it's 2016.
All right.
We got to come up with a name for it.
Can we review before we get to the naming ceremony, like how grifty we got in this, the year of the grift?
We did a lot of live shows, and I feel like...
I feel like tricking people into paying to watch us sit
at a table and make goofs is pretty grifty.
That's true. And speaking of, thank you to everybody who came to our Candlelight special in our beautiful hometown of Huntington, West Virginia. We made a lot of memories, but based on what I saw on Twitter, a lot of people made a lot of Huntington memories. And those are my favorite memories for people that obtain.
We also had special guests, Things I Bought at Sheetz there, and I asked... Yeah. I especially had my daddy ask everybody to film it and put it on YouTube, and nobody did.
So now it's a lost episode.
If you were there, you got the lost episode of Things I Bought at
Sheetz. T-Boss.
And in case you're wondering, at the end of last week's episode, when I thanked the druids, that's because during Things I Bought at Sheetz, there were druids that kidnapped Dwight.
You should not have explained that, because that was maybe my favorite moment in any episode we've ever done where you just inexplicably thanked some druids. Yeah. But Totino's, that was the ultimate con, right? We got them to pay us, I don't want to divulge numbers because according to our NDA, we can't, but like $500,000 just to talk about how fucking tasty their little pizza pillows are.
Mm-hmm.
Should we decide what 2016 is going to be, or each put out whatever our pitch is and then let the people decide?
We don't need to gamify this shit. We don't have to have one each. This is like fucking jazz, baby. It's like a jazz baby.
And we're okay, just going well, to jazz baby.
Some,
Let's just hit some ideas.
All right.
And then we'll see if them stick.
Flicks, 20 Flicks team. Catch up on that queue.
Catch up on the queue. Not bad. Let me hit you with this. This is a serious suggestion. 20 Sucks team. Let's just get through it.
Oh, man, no.
See, listen, wait. Okay.
If you go into a year thinking, fuck, let's just get through this one year.
Yeah.
And then some good things happen in it. You'll be like, whoa, not as, like, you'll get to December and be like, ah, not as bad as I thought it was going to be. Pretty
but
good. But
I feel like that's a little too negative for what we usually bring. Let me throw this out. This is my pitch. 2016 building bridges.
That is very good.
What am I building bridges to?
No. No, we're building a sex dummy of Jeff Bridges.
Well, no, hold on. Wait, 2016, getting it.
No, 2016, build a sex dummy of Jeff Bridges.
It's a very specific goal.
Yeah, but and you're going to need to, I mean, a lot of these parts, they don't sell at the Home Depot.
Could you also do Todd Bridges?
if that's more your speed, I don't see why not.
That's the guy from Sequest, right?
I think so.
If you build a sex dummy of Jeff Bridges, what would it be called? Mine is dumb and hornier, so don't try to steal that one.
That's pretty good. 20, what other words sound like six? I mean, that's the root of this comic.
20 Mixteen, get up in it.
20 Mixteen?
Oh, get in the mix. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What is that? Practically, what does that mean?
Well, it's like, that idea of like when you're like, oh, I want to join that group, but like I'm afraid that I won't fit in.
20 Dixteen.
Okay.
I'm just saying dicks rhymes with six. I don't really have a...
Yours didn't seem as practical as mine did.
No, there's no use case for 20 Dixteen, but...
No, I don't think that one is fertile. We need something general, something universal. Let me hit you with this. 20 Rixteen. Where's all my Ricks at?
Yeah.
This is just for reaching out specifically to Ricks and Rick-based listeners of this program.
Yeah, sure.
20 Rixteen, where are all my Ricks at?
So Ricks, Richards, Rickeries, any like variant.
Yeah, all my Ricks. Let me hear you.
I had a math teacher named Rickery Smith.
No, you didn't.
I did. He taught me good math. 20 Twixteen, get those caramelly sons of bitches.
I like that. 20 Hixteen, back to your roots.
I like Back to Your Roots. I like the idea. Like, let's start from, like, the practical application and then work backwards to the word. Because right now we're just saying a bunch of gobbledygook garbage. And I want it to have, like, a meaty thing. Like, people this year were on their grift, and that was because of us. I want there to be a use. 20. What do we want people to do this year?
Love one another.
Just love one another.
Hug more.
Hug more.
Score lots of babes. 20 Chicks
team. No, Justin.
Come on, ladies. Pile in this Lamborghini.
Which one?
This one.
This one. No, not that one. That's not mine.
Hop in the backseat, baby. There's no backseat. It's a Lambo.
20 Pixteen, or it didn't count.
You're like saying, like, take lots of pictures?
I guess. Right now, 20... I'm just trying to think of things that sound like six.
Oh, yeah. Well, let me hit you with this, then. 20 Frickstein. Hey, Hollywood, it's time to let Brenda Fricker back into movies. Listen, what she did, I'm not here to excuse it. It was heinous. What she did, it's inexcusable. But it's time, she served her time, and it's time to let her back into the picture. 20 Frickstein, back in the picture.
What about 20 Nixteen? Cut it out.
Cut it out, Hollywood. Let her back in.
Wait, I really like 20 Nixteen.
20 Nixteen is like, just cut it out.
Because everybody's got something that they just want to stop doing, and they always complain like it's the thing that people are making. Like, I wish I could stop blank. You can.
Yeah.
Yeah, just Nixteen. It's Nixteen. It's time to stop.
I like Nixteen, too, because it has other applications. For instance, if the basketball team, the Knickerbockers, do like a lot of good dunks and they win the basketball championship, then it can be of the year, then be like, hey, we knew it. Also, I'm planning on getting very into Fleetwood Mac this year, so that would also work for me in that regard.
Maybe you're a big fan of Richard Milhouse Nixon.
Yeah, another possibility.
But wait a minute. The mix, if it's 20 Mixteen, then you can get real into Mick Fleetwood. So you have a lot of different options regarding Fleetwood Mac.
Point. Well, this is great. We'll just keep it 20 Nix/Mixteen, depending on what key you hit on the keyboard.
I think I want people to chase their passions. That's what I want for this year. I've just decided.
Okay.
A lot of people are just sort of stuck in a rut doing their same thing, sort of suspending this thing that they want to do, either or some sort of creative vision, a romantic vision, whatever they know they're going to get to eventually. But guess what? You're putting it off a little too long. So I want people to really jump at it.
Okay. Well, how do you translate that to a pun? What about this?
2016, don't wait up.
Wait. Oh, I thought you were going for like a quixotic kind of thing.
That could be it too. 2016, don't wait up. It's all about like stop delaying your shit.
Mm-hmm.
And move quickly.
What about 2016, appreciating the music of the world's greatest rock band?
See, I feel like that's not as good.
Okay.
2016, it's time we forget. No, it's not time we forgive Thick. Thick, you're still in the doghouse, buddy. I think 2016 building bridges is probably as good as it's going to get. And I like the idea of coming back and doing something nice after this year, this selfish year of self-satisfaction at the expense of other people, like Totino's.
We like to give all of linear time a narrative arc.
Right.
So this is, it just had sort of a dark turn, a heel turn. Mm-hmm. Now it's time to make a face turn, a positive year.
So just like a sneak preview, what are you guys planning on? What bridges are you building personally?
I've had a running feud with Elliot Kalen. I'm probably going to squash that beef.
Over what?
Well, I think he's the greatest.
Okay, so that's a bad bridge. That's not like you have teleportation pads between you. You don't need a bridge, it sounds like.
Okay, that's fair.
Justin, bridge.
Can I make a suggestion? Maybe this is the year that we finally patch things up with jugglers.
Ooh.
We've had a long sort of, it's been a rough few years between us and jugglers, but mainly because their hobby is
ridiculous. Those things are supposed to be on the ground or on shelves, supposed to hold one of them at a time, maybe two tops.
It's only impressive to like feudal kings from hundreds of years ago. We have the internet now, and we have no need of you. That's the only problem with jugglers is that they're wasting their time and our time,
right?
And sometimes people get hurt with those things.
Yeah,
so that's been our stance so far. I'm saying is like maybe we just reach out to jugglers this year and just try to work it out.
It's not 2016 yet.
Yeah, we still have two more days to just fucking hate those guys. I will say I see a path forward because I saw that YouTube video of that guy standing in a cone and like juggling shit like around the cone around himself, and I was like, All right.
I see what you're doing here.
We can talk about that. We can figure something out here.
You may have some place in the internet age yet, jugglers.
So that guy, I guess, is going to be the keystone in my beautiful bridge.
So if you're a juggler, maybe we could have like a juggler guestpert. Who's like a sick juggler?
I could reach out to Cone Guy. I'm sure there's a contact info out there somewhere. Problem is, I feel like...
But you know, he talks like, thanks for having me on the podcast. Now, why like would every juggler...
Why do
That's
they,
how they all sound?
Why do they sound like that, though?
Are you a ball and another ball? Girl, I can hold them all at once. Juggleroo.
That's how they all sound to
they
me.
They do all say juggleroo a lot.
They do say juggleroo.
Juggle it, me, juggly do. Now it's time for juggleroo.
And they that works.
That's actually something I like.
If you move a muscle, well, they start this little incantation. They're like,
No way, come back. I worked real hard at this, and I need you to ingest it.
Yeah. Are they all kind of sick? Like, what's going on with their, like, actual, the tone and meter of their voice?
their approach to social interaction has become warped from hours, if not days, of hiding in a darkened room.
Yeah.
And throwing balls up in the air and catching them. So they've forgotten how people talk.
Yeah, that makes sense, actually, now that I think about it. Let's do some advice, now that we're down with 2016 building bridges.
Sure.
I'm just saying I like the theme we're going with, but if I do build a sex dummy of Jeff Bridges,
yeah, that actually counts towards the original goal.
Okay. Yeah. Well, if I use this sex dummy to cross a small gap.
Well, like, actually, Jeff Bridges publicly stated the other day that he was sad that no one's ever made a sex dummy of him. So. Yeah.
Well, I'm saying it would serve two functions. One, I would fuck the shit out of it.
Yeah.
But number two, I have a small creek in my backyard that I can lay him over and cross from one side to the other, cross the gap safely.
So
untouched by creek water.
Travis, how do you feel, my friend? You
okay? I feel like shit, Justin.
Let's just do the show.
I know. I'm just trying to be. I want to be honest about the conditions to earn ourselves some goodwill.
Okay.
This is true. There is a very good reason we weren't able to record on Monday.
Yeah. And a good reason why this episode is probably going to be pretty short is because we're all fucking just disintegrating.
Yeah. And my baby has an incredibly high fever and has for 8 days.
Everything sucks.
I'm over it, baby. Let's help people. Help us. Fix us. I work in an office, which involves writing letters to people. Down the office walk to co-work. Whoa. This is like a tense shift. I'm not used to these in the questions.
Hell yeah.
Down the office walked a coworker who has her sexy so right.
Oh, nice.
And we made eye contact, as is polite under normal circumstances.
Nope, you're
Thank
slipping.
Thank you all for having me for this guest question. God. I did a little smile. However, this was wrong. At the time we made eye contact and I smiled, I happened to be licking an envelope to seal it shut.
Oh, no.
She looked terrified. Yes, correct. I think she may think I was smiling at the thought of licking her. 2016?
No.
How do I convince her it was an accident and I'm not a creeper? That's from Skeezy and Salivating in Sheffield and the ship has sailed, my friend.
Too late.
Shit, I'm going to print this email out and put it in the garbage can. The garbage can.
This is actually, I think, one of the examples shown in every HR video when you first get hired at any job of like what not to do.
I guess, fellas, I don't want to get blue here, but there's a vitally important piece of information that we are lacking when trying to picture this image mentally. And that was, and again, I don't want to get blue, but what was the orientation of the envelope while you were licking it? Because if it was one way, I could write it off as an accident. But if it was the other way, was it an accident? You a dirty bird, you a dirty envelope bird.
Yeah, I think that this is done.
If you turn that shit 90 degrees, I'm saying, and you have fucking Cherry Pie playing on Spotify, then I can't, it's inexcusable. And I'm going to put you in the fucking fricker jail. Because that sucks.
That's no good. No good.
Is there a chance that this moment registered with this woman and then it was gone?
How do you mean?
Like, she's not thinking about this nearly as much as the question asker is.
That's, Travis, impossible because I want you and I want everybody listening to simulate this right now using their actual face, okay? I want you to pretend you're making eye contact with somebody, but this is the more important part. I want you to smile with your mouth and also try to lick something at the same time.
Oops. Nope. Yeah, you're right.
Uh-oh, you look like Venom. No, yeah. you done fucked up real, real bad.
Oops-a-daisy, you look like Venom.
The problem here is that you can't go talk to her now and be like, hey, yesterday when I was licking the envelope, I wasn't thinking about you or anything. Like, there is nothing you can say to make it less creepy. You will only make it more creepy.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, there's nothing we can do for you at this moment except to just sort of like, I can pass on my personal sort of style, which is all of this could have been avoided, or at least mostly avoided, if you just hadn't made eye contact with her or anybody else for the rest of your life.
Why were you trying to make eye contact with people while licking an envelope?
Yeah, it's
your
bad.
Eyes should be down.
Right, that's bad in the first place, but your eyes should always be down no matter what, because then you still would have been doing that crazy thing with your mouth, and I hate that. But at least you wouldn't have been like fucking no-scoping it at this woman.
Are we agreed that, like, I've been racking my brain. I have nothing. You're hosed, right?
Brush up your resume.
You should be happy you still have a job.
Yeah.
Forget about trying to salvage a relationship with this person. You're employed.
Yeah, it's bad. It's not great.
It's not great, though.
It's not a great whole, like, the whole situation's pretty
what
bad.
What you gotta do is you gotta lean into it.
Uh-oh.
And the next time she comes back down the hallway, grab the closest envelope, go to town.
Yeah. God.
Then you can just try to convince her that you have pica and you need like some of the nutrients in there to be able to function as a person.
Do you guys think, how much money would you pay me if as a dare I licked envelopes at a 90 degree angle for a whole year? I guess it wouldn't matter because I work from home. It's not like anybody would observe the act. But what if I went to the post office every day and did it in like face to face with the post office employees? And I was just like, what? That's how I make sure they get real good and sealed up. This is how I seal my packages. I don't know.
Griffin, I wouldn't pay you to do that.
Yeah.
It'd be like
I love you.
Yeah, but it'd be like a fun, like, Wild Boys stunt.
No, it sounds terrible. It sounds mean to the post office employees.
I guess so. Do you guys want a Yahoo?
Yes, please.
And sent in by Zoe Kinski, climbing that ladder, Zoe Kinski. She posted in the Mabibam Appreciation Group on Facebook, which is a great group if you're not a member of it. They did a Candle Night Secret Santa exchange. And she posted, she got a custom-made shirt that says Climbing That Ladder on it, which made me very happy.
That's cool.
Yeah. Thank you, Zoe. It's by Yahoo Answers user Andres, who asks, does dressing up as Tommy Pickles get you a 5-day suspension from school?
What?
In my high school, we have things called spirit.
Oh, no.
He have things called spirit weeks, where based on what the theme is, the students come dressed as said theme for spirit points, and whichever class gets the most points wins a free trip to King's Dominion.
That's pretty sweet.
Yeah, that's actually pretty dope. Apparently, on a Thursday, seniors had to go as 90s Nickelodeon. I went as Tommy Pickles. During lunchtime, I got up and walked over to the table with the singing sheets. Sign-in sheets?
What?
Since
I like singing sheets because it makes their whole school sound like an Arthurian legend that they have to navigate.
Since I was wearing only adult diapers and a blue shirt, the whole cafeteria saw that, and the principal that gets me a 5-day suspension. Everyone keeps saying the punishment was too rash, and so do I. So I ask, is it? P.S. I didn't come to school in diapers. I changed in a nearby bathroom. Everyone is saying it was a first-time dress code violation, which results in a warning and to be sent home for the rest of the day.
So, okay, wait, he says everyone saw that. He means his balls and penis.
Yeah,
right?
He pulled out his whole penis and both his big juicy balls.
I understand that this is a first time dress code violation, and I am admittedly not someone who is overseeing your school in a rules fashion. You can violate the dress code. There are violations of dress code, and then they're showing up in an adult diaper.
Yeah.
Like, you don't get off with a warning for that. Like, that implies that you were somehow misled about the specifics of the dress code.
Well,
like,
a bigger problem is he made it to lunch before he got in trouble.
That's, yeah, well, he had a big audience there, and you know this motherfucker was putting on a show. But Justin has a great point. It's not like everybody gets one free pass to get out their dick and balls or vagina and then be like, oops, that's my one. I'll go put my pants on. Like, no, there's some violations are so severe that you have to be given the maximum punishment, like, yep, right away.
Right away.
By which I mean death.
You have to be killed?
No. Sorry. Yes. Maybe at wolf school.
By the singing sheets.
By the singing sheets. They spirit your soul away.
You must march through the singing sheets into wolf school.
It's really bad in there.
Why? Okay.
Why do they kill you in wolf school? I don't know, but like.
Why have his teachers failed him so badly? Why have all the other people, like, are they just afraid? Whoa.
Well.
Did he just intimidate an entire school of people into submission by wearing a diaper? Was that,
you
like,
mean like
such,
it was so intense they couldn't handle it, they had to remove him?
Such a big move that he made? That it made such a big move?
That's way too cool. Get him out of here.
My favorite thing about this story is, like, the Rudy-esque, like, collabo that the whole rest of the student body is doing, where they are like, I don't know, Mr. Adkins, that punishment seems really harsh. This one's for Tommy Pickles. If he's suspended, I'm suspended too. Walkout, gang. We're having a walkout. Because high schoolers,
we're having a crawl out.
Yeah, high schoolers need, like, no reason to have a walkout. It's like, yeah, we'll protest. What are we protesting? Whatever. We all are leaving school, right? They can't punish all of us.
Or they all show up the next day in diapers.
In diapies, yeah.
Also, I love that idea. I think there were a couple different times at Huntington High where someone tried to, like encourage everyone to do a walkout and do, like, they can't punish all of us. And now looking back, all I can think is if I were, like, a high school staff member and all the kids just weren't there one day, but I was still there getting paid, that would be, like, the best day.
Yeah. I would just get drunker.
That would be, like, a top-notch day.
I would get drunker than I usually am on any given school day.
That would be a great day, except you're still, like, legally on the hook for whatever happens to those kids.
I don't think that's how that works.
No, that's not true. Like, if a kid stays home sick, you don't have to, like, go down and make sure that they don't, like, rob somebody.
That's different. They're playing hooky. Their parents think they're at school. You think they're, you know, at home, you're on the hook for that as a school. What if there was a school-wide walkout and also a zoo-wide bear walkout? And all the bears left the zoo at the same time. The students all left, and then the two groups met in the middle. Who's on the hook for that, I ask you?
Yeah, that's a good point, Justin. I'm going to read the best answer on this. Is a Yahoo Answers user and fucking legal expert father who responds. This is kind of tough, but honestly, the answer is yes. Think about it. You essentially came to school in nothing but underwear and a t-shirt. You really should have used a little foresight, like wearing pants underneath, or at least a pair of shorts. Hi, father. Hi, daddy. Have you seen the Nickelodeon television program Rugrats? Because what you just said is crazy. Tommy, what are you wearing? These are pants. I wear pants now.
There's like a little thing called artistic pride.
Yeah. You're wearing pants under your diaper? That's crazy.
If you're wearing shorts under your diaper and a blue shirt, you're nothing. You look like a crazy person.
Yeah. You certainly don't have spirit. By this person just having like a little bit of cloth in between their juicy balls and the whole world, that's art. That's Banksy, basically, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's how Banksy got started.
That's how he got his start.
Diapers. That's how Banksy got his groove back.
Uh-huh. He's done it twice. How about another question?
Over the holidays, a lot of people brought in baked goods to work for everyone to enjoy. While eating a cookie, no need to brag. Get braggy about it. While eating a cookie made by one of my coworkers, I felt something hard in my mouth. After rooting around a bit, I found an ordinary household staple. And not a staple like rice or grain, but an actual staple. Long story short, I told the person who made the cookies, and now almost everyone in the office knows. My conundrum was this. Was I right to tell her? It's not like she could do anything about it after the fact, and she didn't throw away the rest of the cookies or even remove them.
What the fuck? Good?
That's from Cookie Conundrum.
You're good. They're not. That sucks.
Right. As you read the question, you get to the part where it's like everyone in the office knows. You're like, oh, how embarrassing. And then you get to the part where the person who made them said, yeah, what do you want me to do? And didn't like move the cookies or throw them away or anything. And it's like, oh, she put that staple in there because she hates you, Derek.
It's not no, that's not addressed. Like the person who made the cookies may have taken a 10 of them and tossed them in the trash.
No, he says that there she didn't throw away the rest of the cookies or even remove
them. Yeah, homie, it literally says that exact thing you just said. It didn't say.
Oh, okay, yeah, I see that now. Who read the question? I guess I just wasn't paying attention.
This person's history's greatest monster. This is the worst. Are you kidding me? If I go to Arby's right now and I bite into one of their big buffaloes, their big Bufords, and I chomp down on one of those and I pull a fucking staple or any foreign object out of my mouth, they legally have to get rid of all of the sliced meat in the building.
Yeah,
and start
like your
over.
Day is made though. Like, because you got them on the hook.
Yeah, I got freebie for life, but that doesn't apply here. It's not going to be like, Linda, you got to cook me cookies for the rest of my life. This is a fucking Wookiee life bond. I almost died because of your dumb staple cookie. Now I need cookies hot and fresh, two of them sitting on my desk every morn.
I completely disagree with telling about the staple. Completely disagree.
Was that just because you would not do it?
No, it's okay. Think about it this way, okay? One option is you don't say anything and they did something, you know, they're trying to do something nice. Maybe they're a little bit slow. Or in their twilight years, they're not as like observant as they used to be, and they accidentally left a staple in there. We all have staples on our clothes. You find them from time to time.
Hold up, what?
We all have fine staples.
You know, when you get bored and you staple your shirt, you know.
You know, when you accidentally put a staple. So you could have just thrown away that staple. They would have felt good. You would have felt like morally vindicated, like you did a nice thing for somebody and had their back for once, and that would have been great. The alternate concept is that you need to tell them because they have dumped many, many staples
right
into it. And like, if they did that, they know they did and they don't care. Like, they know the jig is up once everybody starts tearing these cookies.
The fact remains, they almost killed you. If it's late at night and you're walking down the county
they
road.
They did it.
Nope,
we're all almost killing each
please,
other constantly.
Please. You're walking down that county road at night just trying to fucking clear your head because you just got in a big fight with your sister and you're just walking down that road. Ooh, damn it, Glinda. Ah, not again, not like this. Then all of a sudden, who's that over the hill? It's Barbara, your coworker, and she hits you with her car and drives off. Oh, she got scared. It could happen to anybody. What's that? You survived. You're nursed back to health by a family of wolves on vacation from wolf school. And then what's that? You come back into the office 2 days later, a little banged up, but still alive. You wouldn't go up to Barbara and be like, hey, B, what the fuck? You almost killed me with your car out on the county road. You're suggesting that's you just let bygones different. Be bygones because we've all hit somebody on the county road late at night.
That's nothing to do. The two situations are completely different.
No, I think that tracks.
Thank you, Travis.
I think Griffin's absolutely correct.
Thank you, Travis. It's attempted murder is what it is. Even if it's accidental, you still attempted it.
I think there's precedent that almost eating a stable and getting hit by a car and driving off are basically in the same wheelhouse. Now, I'm not going to say that it's the same severity, but they're definitely related.
I'm going to say that. The defense rests, Your Honor.
There's another option here. What if you went up to Barbara and you're like, Barbara, I found a staple in the cookie. And she went, that mischievous ghost.
Okay.
And there was just a ghost dumping staples into the cookies.
Is it just staple? That seems like a really specific form of haunting. Like, does it dump like dice in there occasionally? Like, what's it?
Well, he's more of a harlequin figure. He's just stirring up the pot, creating trouble, wreaking havoc.
You're saying, but staple-based havoc.
Well, you use what you've got access to, okay. And Barbara's been stealing office supplies.
That makes sense, actually.
And he has thin, reedy arms, so he can't lift a lot of things that one would normally cause.
Yeah, what's he
going
to do, put a printer in there? Come on.
Absolutely not.
Barbara stole a fucking printer?
Well, Barbara's got sticky fingers.
Fucking crime of the century. That's incredible. How does
what
she?
If it, how does she what if in Barbara, it? Where Barbara's comes from, that's a very lucky thing. That's how I would play it if I was Barbara.
Oh, like finding the baby in the king cake.
You found Ungunter staple. That's the one lucky staple is how it loosely translates for my people. And you'll have good fortune all throughout the year.
And then they raised him up on his shoulders and admired his broken teeth.
Good news, everybody. Rick found the Ungunter staple.
Rick.
Oh, shit. We got to take Rick to the hospital.
He's too lucky. Luck is bleeding from his face.
Let's go to the money zone.
Hell yeah. Many problems that you experience in your day-to-day start in your head. It doesn't feel that way. It feels sometimes like they start in your gut or your butt, but it's not. It's your head. Fear, anger, stress, anxiety, depression.
All these lead to the dark side.
All these lead to the dark side. How do you stay on the light side? Headspace. It's meditation made simple. These are guided meditations you can listen to whenever you want, wherever you want, right on your phone, computer, or tablet.
And let me say, I've been doing meditation for almost a decade now.
Thanks, Tim Allen.
And what I really, really like about Headspace is it's very user-friendly, even if you're the type of person who's like, I don't know if I could sit still for that long. I don't know if I could get into it. But it's so well-guided, but not in an obtrusive way. It's very easy to get into.
I'm a huge proponent of meditation, generally speaking, but also Headspace specifically. I was using Headspace before they reached out to us about advertising on the show, so I was really, really excited to have an excuse to talk about them. Meditation in general, I think, is something that a lot of people could use in their lives, and Headspace makes it really easy. They have this starter program that you can download on their Headspace app for free, and it's a Take 10 program. It's 10 days of guided meditation. If you could just go to headspace.com/mybrother, and you can get all the details there. I guarantee this is, you know, I don't say this with a lot of advertisers or a lot of things in anything. This could legitimately change your life. If you've been hearing people talk about meditation, this is a killer way to get started.
Now, Travis has authored a guest guided meditation program as part of this starter bundle. And it is Tim Allen themed. I know you're wondering, is it Tim Allen themed?
Would you like to hear a clip of it now?
It goes, do you want to do it?
Here's the clip.
Okay.
Calm yourself. Breathe in. Yes, the breath is what it's all based on. Feel the power of the breath. That's it.
Yeah, that's better than my thing. I'm glad you took that joke and ran with it.
That address again is headspace.com/mybrother. Check out the free Headspace app and try the Take 10 program and let us know what you think, because I think you'll be really pleased.
All right, you're done meditating. Let's get fucked up. We're going to tell you all about Club W. Club W's got all that sweet wine juice you need to get fucking completely turned. This probably isn't the tone that they wanted us to take in this advertisement. It's time to party.
It may be the tone that they specifically asked us not to take. It's hard to tell.
Regardless of what they want, I'm going to tell you all about Club W. Club W is a wine delivery service. It's a wine subscription service. They are leading the grape-to-glass wine revolution. They work directly with vineyards, cut out all the middlemen, and save you money in the process. You can get premium wines delivered to your door at a third of what you'd pay at the store. They have a no-risk...
That's absolutely accurate. Like, sometimes you see these shipping, you know, subscription services, and you think, oh, I can't afford that. I'm just going to go get, like, that super cheap wine at the gas station.
Yeah.
No. Don't do that. Club W has wine that's affordable and delicious and will impress
you.
And they
figure out what you're going to want by doing a quick 6-question survey. You can go to clubw.com, answer those questions. They'll put together a palette for you and they'll start sending you wines. And right now, Club W is offering Mabim Bam listeners 50% off your first order if you go to clubw.com/mybrother. That's clubw.com/mybrother, and you'll get 50% off your first order.
Please drink responsibly. Don't be a dingus.
Yeah, don't be a ding-dong about it. Drink responsibly. Just get fucked up in your own home when you're, like, watching Netflix or whatever. Got another message here. This one's for Eric, and it's from Sarah. Sarah says to Eric, "Hey, big bro, Merry Candle Nights." We are still technically in the Candle Nights window. I think today's the last day, actually.
It has no beginning and no end.
Oh, that's right.
It is eternal. It is always and never.
"Hey, big bro, Merry Candle Nights. As I write this, it's August, so you just moved to Toronto, and I miss you already. I hope you are super merry out there in the distant future. Presumably, we are all having holiday merrymaking with laser trees and hover tinsel. I hope it's awesome. Love, little sister."
I love that. That's so sweet. That makes me really happy down my cockles.
And robo-futuristic, and I could have done without what you just said, if I'm being... Frank.
Cockles?
Yeah.
Cockles?
Yeah.
I don't know why.
There's nothing wrong with cockles.
Nothing wrong with cockles.
There's like seven.
Ain't nothing wrong with no cockles.
Okay.
Nothing wrong.
Read this next thing.
Cockles.
Stop. Next message.
I got a message for Casey. It's from Sierra. You're probably listening to this while you're working hard to take home that sweet, sweet bacon. Know that you are truly a badass and that your badassery is exceeded only by your handsome face and your kind, huge heart.
Okay.
Merry Christmas or whatever, depending on when this message is read. I love you. The last line of this is, "Brothers, help me punch it up with the joke or something."
Right.
As far as I get.
I think I get sort of the shape of the message they were trying to send to us there discreetly.
Okay. All right. So punch it up with a, like, where can we get a joke in that message? Is there a joke in there? Or? We're not really good at making up jokes.
Yeah. Not if we're told to, because we're kind of fucking rebellious. I like to imagine that Casey works at, like, some sort of pig destruction, like pig annihilation facility, where the meats are claimed and then processed into literal.
Or maybe
sweet bacon.
maybe it's that antique reclaimed meat.
Oh, I see. It just sort of takes the scrapple, the leavens.
Yeah, where it's like, oh, we found this scrapple in an old school that we tore down.
Yeah, sure.
And now we've cleaned it up. We've got some reclaimed bacon.
Yeah.
That's great. If you want to make a coffee table out of that or like a headboard.
Yeah, or a meat but it's, or bacon.
Sweet bacon. So it's bacon, but it's... I was going to make a joke about something that would be silly to do with bacon. But
okay.
Everybody's done fucking everything silly with bacon. There's like nothing I could say here that wouldn't be like, you could turn it into shaving cream. And then there's like a guy with a handlebar mustache like, actually, we've been making bacon-based shaving cream out of our Brooklyn
That's good stuff,
distillery.
Yeah. All of this is joke-like. So I think we've fulfilled...
Similar to a joke, right?
Yes. We've fulfilled the charge.
Ty is a pedantic person. I think when he pronounces these words, it's in a very show-offy way. Gyro.
Yiro.
Sacrebleu.
Sacrebleu.
Ayers Rock.
Uluru.
What you are witnessing is real. The participants are not actors. They are actual litigants with real cases. They call in via Skype to Judge John Hodgman's court, the real people's court. Now I call you to Judge John Hodgman's internet court. Find it at MaximumFun.org or wherever you download podcasts.
Do you guys want a Yahoo?
Yes, please.
This Yahoo was sent in by a couple of people, actually. Matt Stout and Chloe Smith Guitard. Chloe Smith Guitard and Matt Stout. Matt, I'm sorry, I didn't say your name like four times. Thank you, both of you. It's by Yahoo Answers user Joe who asks, is having an imaginary enemy worse than having an imaginary friend?
Worse in what context?
I mean, categorically, it's probably worse, right? Like, you got this fucking specter that only you can see that's just trying to mess with your shit all day.
But you know what? I get it.
Okay.
Let me explain why. There's a little cult classic called Red Dwarf, right? And the whole premise is that there's a spoiler. There's a dude who's like the last surviving guy on a space station, on a spaceship. Mm. And the hologram that the computer brings back is not the people he liked the most, but his roommate that he never got along with, and they constantly bicker. Because they constantly bicker, that's what kind of keeps it, you know, keeps it interesting. There's that odd couple shit.
Yeah.
So you get that enemy who's like a friend to you.
So,
like,
yeah.
Like the people in Justified.
I've had an imaginary friend since I was 4 years old named Marcus.
Uh-huh.
Big Marcus?
I mean, he was big when I was a little kid, because, like, when I was a little kid, Marcus was 36 years old. But now I'm, like, kind of catching up to him a little bit.
Now he's just Marcus.
He's ageless. And now, yeah, we're similar sizes. So, yeah, he's 36. One day I'm going to be an old man, and I'm going to talk to Marcus. I'm going to be jealous of his youth. Anyway, Marcus means a lot to me. But I can't help but think, like, what if I had an imaginary enemy also named...
Sparkus.
Well...
Sportacus.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson. What if it was The Rock? Or what if it was Triple H? We'll say Triple H. The rock-based humor is a little bit overused.
A little bit, yeah.
So I have an imaginary enemy, Goldust, and then I could just... It's great for two reasons. One, Goldust is like going to fucking constantly be coming at me. And that pressure I'm going to feel, it's going to like two blades sharpening against each other. And then when I'm attacked by real-life Goldust or real-life Triple H or any... WWE roster member, I'll be able to fucking take him on because I'll know the moves. Secondly, I can make Marcus and Triple H just fight whenever I want and just watch it.
But what if it was more of a psychological enemy than it was a physical enemy, and you just had someone like next to you all day
berating
me? Are you really gonna wear that shirt?
Same principle applies, because then I'll learn some good real life teardowns. And then, like, if I fucking run into Sheamus and he cuts in line at like Best Buy or whatever, I can just like tear his shit apart because I've had practice doing it.
Wait, is Sheamus real?
Yeah, he's a real one.
Are you sure?
Yeah, he's got red hair. He's the current champ. Or he was. I don't know. I haven't watched in a while. Anyway.
One of the great things about having Goldust coming at you 24/7.
Yeah.
Is that whenever you get into one of those times where people are comparing like how rough they're having it currently, or like what a bad weekend they've had, and like you say, well, you know, I couldn't get in the restaurant I wanted to, and everybody forgot my birthday. And you can always sort of tack on at the end, and also, I have Goldust coming at me.
Yeah,
24/7.
I mean,
it makes everything way more impressive. Anything you can accomplish,
it can make things kind of uncomfortable every now. Oh fuck! No, not now. Goldust, come on, come on. Hey.
Everything all right?
I was really scared for a second. I thought a spider jumped on you.
No, it's, I mean, even worse. It was a man dressed up in like gold grease paint and stuff. I fucking got him though. I know his fucking ways now, because I'm way bigger than when I was seven. I used to just get fucking dunked on. But now that's right, motherfucker.
Wait, Goldust has been coming at you since you were seven?
Yeah. Listen, I had to mature really, really quickly.
Goldust seems like a weird, vicious predator.
Yeah,
it's a hard childhood, man.
The type of like vicious predator that only a child could envision. Ooh, I'm a little bit winded.
Yeah, but here's the problem. You get so used to the daily, almost like hourly, momentary attacks.
Yeah.
That one day when it doesn't come, you'll miss it.
Well, no, I can't. We have a schedule. I keep him. It's my fault. It was 10 before the hour. And
but what I'm saying is, what if one day he moves on, Griffin, and your imaginary friend is no longer there, and he's not attacking you?
I guess I'm just gonna have to I'm gonna have to fucking spar with Marcus at that point.
Marcus is a lover, not a fighter.
You're right. He loses every time I make him and Goldust fight each other. Sometimes Marcus like stands in for me if I'm, you know, sick or whatever. Boy, I love watching those two rowdy boys fight, though.
Oh, hell yeah. How come when you say weird shit, everyone's on board, but when I say weird shit, they're like, stop talking about mangoes, Travis?
Well, mine was real. Mine was like a real thing that I deal with all the time.
Yeah, Griffin's was forged in truth.
Yes.
Can we circle back around to this next year? Like, what has happened? What are we doing?
What do you mean?
It's 2016. What is it? Like, we're about to end this episode, and we still don't have an answer for that question.
Well, I mean, we did answer it 2016, building bridges.
Are we 100% certain on that, though?
I want something with a positive message. I was suggested while you were in the turlet, 2016, stop putting it off. And because, you know, 2016, you got to be quick. No, it sucks.
Too much pressure. Yeah. It's like a pressure. It's a pressure thing I don't really like.
I feel like 2016 is good, building bridges, because you only have to do it once. So you only have to work up the courage to do it once during the year. You build one bridge, and then they build one bridge.
Oh, so we'll make it 2016, building bridge.
Yeah, you can't be plural. You have to build at least two bridges.
Yeah, that's a good point.
But you could build two half bridges, and then they meet each other in the middle.
I don't think there's such a thing as a half bridge.
Yeah, it's just a dock.
That was fucking funny.
That was funny, Travis.
Thank you.
It's time to get hard.
That's what happens when you're on Dayquil.
Yeah. You gotta get hot. This is the year we go hard on people who own docks. Like, come on.
Just finish it.
Here's a hammer. Here's some wood. It's time to finish it.
2016 building bridges is good because, like, it can also mean, like, you've had that hole in your garage for 2 years. Fucking take care of it. It's time to take care of it.
Put a bridge on it.
Because let me tell you, Justin, to your earlier point about this being 2016 and this year's going to suck, you're wrong. This is the year where we fucking batten down the hatches for 2017, where, oh my God, it's going to get real. It is time to doomsday prep the shit out of 2016.
I don't agree with that, and I'd rather not think that way.
Okay, but
I think every year is going to be better than the year before.
Well,
that's the way it's been for me so far.
You were the one who pitched 2016.
That was about setting expectations. Thank you, Griffin. Yes, it was about lowering expectations and enjoying the year more as a result of this sort of like stoic perception of the situation. But I think that 2016, building bridges. I'm glad we have another subcolon on a year. I think that's very important.
Should we wrap up? I know you got places.
Yes,
you got
please.
A place to be.
We all got places.
I know it's kind of a short one.
Lay down.
Yeah, it's been a short one, but we had like 1 hour to record today.
We are barely here.
What do we usually do here?
Well, this is the part where first off, I thank everybody for coming to Candle Nights.
Thank you.
Thank you to a big thank you. You know, I didn't mention it repeatedly, but thank you so much to the folks on the My Brother, Me appreciation group that helped. With filling the empty stockings, the MBMBAM angels who helped fill the empty stockings, especially Valerie Harness and all the other volunteers to help make that possible. I didn't do that much, but the folks in that group and some of the people in that group, like Jessica, brought a bag of clothes when she went to Candle Nights to drop off at one of the charities.
When we talk to people, like when we're in town for the holidays, and we talk to people like we've known our whole lives from Huntington, they talk about that shit.
So thank you so much. Thank you to, everybody?
We got a bunch of gifts from folks, and they were so sweet and so amazing. We'll read all those off in the next episode. We literally are out of time to do it, which I know sounds ungrateful and shitty, but thank you all so, so, so much. We spent like an hour opening presents the day that we all opened presents from everybody that had sent it to our P.O. box. It was super cool, and we appreciate it so much, and we'll have time to be more grateful soon.
I also want to say a quick congratulations to Dexter, who beat me in the My Brother and Me Fantasy Football League Championship.
It was fucking close. It was a nail biter, man.
Yeah, it was. He won by like 1 point.
It's rough.
Congratulations, Dexter. You earned
it. I want to thank John Roderick and the Long Winters for the use of our theme song, It's a Departure, off the album Putting the Days to Bed. We signed a couple copies of that during Candlelights. A lot of people trading those as gifts, which I like. It's a good gift. Good album. Go listen to the other Maximum Fun shows. Go to MaximumFun.org. They're all free. They're all super great and amazing. And let's wrap up.
That's going to do it for us. Thank you so much, Griffin. Do you have a final question for us?
Final one. It was sent in by Rachel Siska. Thank you, Rachel. It's by Yahoo Answers user Prometheus, who asks, why does the Full House and Family Matters theme sound the same? Are they the same?
I'm Justin McElroy.
I'm Travis McElroy.
I'm Griffin McElroy.
This has been My Brother and Me. Kiss your dad square on the lips.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture. Artist owned.
Listener supported.
The three of you enter a cave of a big red dragon and is standing over a hoard of precious golden rubies. And he says, what do you do, adventurers? I'm a dragon man.
I cast fire on him. It's very good.
I address the red dragon and say, us, we're the hosts of The Adventure Zone, a podcast about family playing Dungeons and Dragons.
Very good synergy. Commit to the bit.
I roll to charm new listeners. It is very effective.
Against all odds. Everybody, we're the McElroys. We host The Adventure Zone, a podcast where we play Dungeons & Dragons together. It's a comedy podcast. We don't take the rules too seriously because there's a lot of them and we did not take the time to learn them. Maybe listen to us. We come out every other Thursday on the Maximum Fun Network. You can find us on iTunes or on MaximumFun.org. I think this promo is a critical hit.